My name is Jeremy Pierre. I am Dean of Students and Professor of Biblical Counseling down at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And it's amazing to me what a difference climate-wise happens in the three-hour drive north from Louisville, Kentucky. But it doesn't surprise me all that much because I'm a Cleveland, Ohio boy. That's where I grew up. So this cold is like my love language or my hate language. I can't really figure out what's going on there. All right, so what I want to do, I'm going to pray for us in a moment to ask God to be with us. But what I like to do is try to put in front of you guys in these trainings different aspects or different things that you can recognize, themes that you can recognize going on in people's lives that they're not necessarily coming in with a presenting issue about, right? So we're talking about combating the subtle culture of rivalry in marriage. I have yet to have someone come in for counseling and saying, hey, we got a culture of rivalry in our marriage. Can you help us out? Right? So what I'm not giving you a presenting issue type stuff. I'm giving you sort of themes that you can see in the subtle interactions between people. So we'll talk more as we go, but let's ask God to be with us first. Father, these are long and intense days. Many have come here from various ministry situations or work situations, Lord, and those things can easily crowd into our minds and we can sort of worry about them or think about them. But I pray that you would give rest to our minds, that you would help us to entrust all of those details to you. Because, Father, you are sovereign and we are not. You are capable and we are not. You are holy and righteous, and we are not. And we can entrust unto you body and soul our entire lives, and therefore we are happy. So, Father, make us joyful in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his love for us. Help us, Father, to think carefully today about a very important aspect of marriage counseling, Lord. And I would even pray that you would build our convictions and our own hearts regarding this particular thing in our own lives. Because, Father, you often transform us before you transform the people that we are ministering to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, changing the culture of a marriage from rivalry to Christ-likeness. Let's first talk about, just introductorily here, understanding what a culture is. A culture is a subtle thing. We use the term often to describe what other people are like or people from other places are like. So, Southern culture, right? Or ancient Near Eastern culture. Or perhaps the most mystifying of all, teenage culture. So, what we tend to overlook, though, is that we ourselves live and move and think in a culture ourselves. And we do so in sort of many different layers of culture. I hope you realize this. Every nation has a culture. Every people group within that nation has a culture. Every city has a culture. Every church has a culture. And even every family has a culture. A culture exists between when you're interacting with anyone more than yourself. So a rural American, and that culture sort of shapes our expectations and beliefs about the world, the things that we value. I'll give you a more strict definition as we go. But my point is, a rural American from the Midwest is going to be quite uncomfortable sitting in a two-hour lunch conversation. Why? Why is he going to have an experience or a feeling of discomfort when he's looking down at his watch, it's the middle of a work day, and he's just spent 2 hours having a conversation? Why is he going to feel uncomfortable? Because the cultural expectations and beliefs around him of a Midwesterner, like us tough people, right, is that a work day is meant for work. And you get up and you work your can off, and you take a lunch in order to simply fuel you to get the rest of the day's work done, and then you go home and you be with your family. But someone who is from an urban Parisian, someone from Paris, they look down at their watch after spending 2 hours in conversation at lunchtime, and they don't feel a bit of discomfort at all. Why? Because of the cultural expectations on them, right? Is it simply that the people from Paris are lazy and people from the Midwest are hardworking? Well, heck yeah, we're Midwest. No, I'm just kidding. That's not it, right? There's a different cultural value operating in each one. In the Midwest America, we tend to prefer the value of performance and accomplishment and hard work. And in Paris, perhaps, urban Paris, the value that drives them is more the value of relationships and life being enjoyable and friendships, things like that. Does that make sense? So it's not that one is better than the other necessarily. Now, we can talk about differences, but it's not that one's necessarily better than the other. I'm just trying to point out to you that our sensibilities are shaped in a culture, whether we recognize that or not. So every workplace, every office, I mean, you have a culture at the office, whether that office are more talkative or whether that office is more sort of work-driven. So if you go into an office like that and you're a really talkative person and that's not the culture around you, you're going to quickly get a reputation of, she never shuts up. But on the other hand, if you're not a very talkative person and you go into an environment where everybody's always gabbing at the office and you're kind of just getting your work done, what's your reputation going to be? She's a snob. She's to herself. She's too good for us. Churches have cultures too. So whether you're from an independent Baptist church like I was growing up, boom, or from a Pentecostal church, there's different cultures and expectations that you have when you go into that place. At my church, we were of the variety where you do not have drums. If you say the word drums, you might be in danger of losing your salvation. I'm just kidding. Nobody really thinks that. But we didn't like drums, is my point. And then, so if you came into my church and someone was actually playing drums, that would shock everyone because of the expectations that mark us, right? Whereas in many Pentecostal church or hipster cool churches now, right? That's a totally different culture and it fits it. One's not necessarily superior to the other. I'm just again pointing out to you, there are collective expectations that are part of your thinking, whether you realize it or not. So I think one of my first bullet points I have there, a culture is a shared expectations that exist between two or more people established through various patterns of interaction. So all the things that I just gave you of, how does a church come to have a culture? It's what they've always done. It's a patterned set of actions to where you know what to expect when you walk in and see it. So If someone has a question for me later on, if we have time, what will you do to indicate that you have a question? You will raise your hand. Is there anything intrinsically true about raising a hand that intrinsically means I have a question? No. Yeah, it wouldn't make sense, because if you go in another culture and you raise your hand, everybody looks at you like you're a moron. You don't do that. But this is, we've all collectively agreed through practice that this means I have a question or I want to say something. In other cultures, they might click or they might say something or they might have some other indicator. So, next bullet point there. Those inside a culture tend to be most blind to it. So that's why what I've said to you, it totally makes sense so far, but it's not something that you're actively thinking about all the time. You just kind of blend into what the expectations are around you. Your responses have been conditioned in that particular way. So have you ever heard someone from a different culture observe your life and then ask you a basic question that kind of startles you and reveals something that you hadn't thought about? So I have a single friend who has moved to my area recently. And he's come and hangs out at my house a lot. And he just made a very simple observation. Your kids are really loud. And you're really loud. Your whole house is really loud. And it made me realize that my family is just like, we're a sing-song family. We have nicknames for everything and everyone. And we're always like riffing on things and just do, we're just always just singing and laughing and playing. We're really loud. And it's not until someone who's not from a culture of a family.